better when you just give them a little juice. And I'm kind of thinking that may be the case for our camp returnees this morning. They may need a little extra juice, Jerry. May need to be two cups of coffee for Jerry Elder rather than just one. Can y'all believe Jerry doesn't drink but one cup of coffee a day? Blows my mind. This guy who has the fountain of youth when it comes to energy, and he just drinks one cup of coffee. It's unbelievable. Jerry, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. What a great, great week we've had. What a great week for our families that have been a part of camp. And moms and dads, you guys with younger kids, oh, listen, please, please, please see the great value that is a part of the church camp experience. There is nothing like it. So much that is missing from the lives of our kids as far as the fun and just the silliness and just things that outdoor, playing in creeks, running around and romping and stomping, and just so many things that we miss in our current climate and culture, you find again in church camp. And it is such a tremendous blessing. And so I'm thankful for all that were a part of that. We do wish you happy Father's Day, and what a blessing it is. I know so many of you are here with your fathers, and others are here that are dads, and we're thankful to honor you. But I know too that this day is kind of a bittersweet day, because sometimes for reason of loss, for reason of perhaps disappointment or an absence of a father, we know it can be a difficult day, and we acknowledge that, and we share in that with you today. But I also want us to share in something else. We've already recognized our new brothers and sisters, and as we have done the last few weeks, I kind of want to do something a little different. And you know, I told you we did this thing in the first person, and I've asked for the ideas of telling your story, our story. And so I wanted to invite the dads of those that are here today that have been baptized into Christ, to invite you guys down front. I won't make you come up on stage. I know you'll appreciate that. But just come on down front. And some of you can sit and stand, or you could just all stand, and that way you feel more pressure not to preach, Matthew Ruiz. And so we'll just start on the front. Y'all turn around, and just what I'm asked these gentlemen to do is just as fathers to speak to their children, to share with them their hearts, because many of them weren't there necessarily in person at camp, but ask them to share the prayer and some of the things that they have felt through the years and prayed through the years.
So first, Chuck, thanks for giving me this opportunity. You know how much I like standing in front of people talking, so thanks. So last Wednesday I'm at work, and Jerry calls me around 2 and says, Caden has something to tell you. So a little backstory of this. Last time I got a call from someone like that was the principal. So my first thought was, oh no, what'd he do?
What's up, my man?
But anyways, he got on the phone and said, Daddy, I want to be baptized. And get a little emotional. At that moment, I knew that my prayers had been answered. Because as a parent, that's the ultimate prayer. That's what you want answered. Even before I had kids, I was praying. You know, you pray for their health when they go to school, stuff like that. So about 8 years ago, we lost Michael. And at that time, I always prayed, but I don't think I knew how to talk to God. After that moment, prayer was a lot different for me. He answered many of prayers. He brought us Amy, that has been a rock. you pray for when they start driving. Cain's going to be driving in a year or so. So everybody needs to pray for that. But out of all those prayers and things that come and go, the one thing you always pray for is they get baptized. And that is, to me, the greatest decision that my kids can make. I'm so proud of Ella and Caden for both making that decision. So.
Chuck, join me up here real quick for just a second. Sorry.
Yeah.
Real quick. Hey, Jason, hop up here real quick. All right, so my prayer continually on this, Nora, has been a little more selfish in that I've just basically, for the overall, said, please don't let me mess this up, being a dad. Mm. That has been the overarching thing of all my prayers as far as being a dad and raising these children right. And so that's been that. And then here's an illustration that always pops into my head whenever I think of this and the overarching thing. So Chuck, over here. Thank you, sir. All right, in this illustration, you will be God. Don't let your head get too big. Okay. Jason, you're going to be Nora, and I'm going to be me. So, you start your life out as a Christian, taking the hand of God, and He's guiding you and He's leading you on the way. And it's just me. And then all of a sudden now, let's see if this will pick me up. If not, I'll just speak real loud. There we go. Now I've got God's hand. I'm holding on tight to that. I'm trying my best. And now Nora's here. And now He's guiding, and I'm guiding her indirectly like this. All right, take this other hand. There. Now, the whole time I'm guiding her, and she's raising her, and I'm like, please don't let me mess this up. Please don't let me let go or lose this grip and do these things until she's old enough and she realizes that she wants to take God's hand and let Him guide. And it turns out that hand was always there for her. And then she takes it. And now the other hand. Now, she's being guided by God, I'm being guided by God, and I'm still here for her. And she will continue that journey into the next cycle. That is the illustration that I have in my head, and please don't let me mess this up. And so far, after this past week, it's a good reaffirmation that I'm not, and I'm going to keep trying and keep doing my best to be a great dad to Nora. And I hope that she does her best to be a great Christian and a great mother in her time too.
Amen.
So, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You know, like all the guys up here and all the fathers out there, the prayer begins a long time ago, right? It begins as soon as you have kids or before you start having kids. It's the prayer is, help me lead them. And as they get older, you realize that it can't just be you. Because you can mess it up. Or that it can't be about me. You know, recently that's been my prayer. Send somebody, help them say what needs to be said. Help them do what needs to be done. Help me continue to be what I need to be. And it was, I've never been more proud. Not of what I've done or what my wife has done, but I was so proud that Tyler made that commitment. Amen. Had the courage. And I know that my son is capable of doing wonderful things if he continues to serve God.
I think all of us got the text from Chuck last night, which was probably good, so you don't overthink this too much. But my first thought, maybe it was the day before, but it was pretty late in the week, yesterday morning. My first thought was, this is an incredibly personal thing. I don't want to get up there and share those kind of, you know, there's a public prayer. And those of us who've done, you rehearse it a little bit, you think about it, and then you say it because you want people to hear it. But the prayers for our children, I don't know that those are meant to be spoken out loud all the time, right? Because there's nothing more intimate than from the heart. So all three of our kids have been baptized in the last year, and getting the news from each of them, I was like, yeah, well, okay, that makes sense. Because God is faithful. This is, you know, I've been prayed over by my parents. I know that daily for my entire life. And I feel that shield of prayer around me from my parents. And so, you know, I've done the same thing for my kids. So it was a pretty natural thing that this was going to happen because God is faithful. It shouldn't have come as a surprise and didn't. But as I was thinking about, well, what do I want to share? And what really kind of came to mind is I'm thinking about the prayers that in my quiet time is my commute to work every day, because it's no fun sitting on 65. So you either pray or curse, one of the two, and choose to pray most of the time. But oftentimes the prayers, particularly for our kids, and maybe I'm the only one that's like this, a lot of times it's not words. Right, prayer is not just an intellectual activity where you're just having this dialogue. Sometimes it's just, God, please, and then emotion, right? Or in images of what you want life to be for them, or what you need God to do in this moment for comfort or peace or whatever. And it's oftentimes just not words. It's these feelings, and it's images that are just placed in your heart, and God says, yeah, I got you. I got that image. I know what you're saying. I don't know. I think those are probably the best prayers, at least for me and for I talk to God about with my family in particular. So,
very good. I told Matt, he said, we're too close to him. I said, don't look him in the eye. Don't look him in the eye. No, my prayers, I want to say it varies with our four children. All four of our children have now obeyed the gospel. And as Aaron and I remember early days in marriage, that was something we talked about, was we wanted to make sure that our children, we intentionally approached raising children to introduce them to Jesus, to go out of our way, to be at things. You talk about the value of church camp, Chuck. We've always been very family oriented. Those of you who know our family, you know we're very family oriented. So yes, we do make sure we're there because we want to be active in the lives of the family that we have, but also in our church family. All of our children are different. So our prayers have been a little different, but at the end of the day, I guess the summation would be I've prayed for their dedication to the Lord. I've prayed. It's going to sound weird coming from a preacher. You talk about not messing it up. My kids hear what I say and then they see how I live at home. There's a lot of hypocrisy on the line if you're not careful. So my prayers have been that my children would be very forgiving. And then I have also recently been praying, and God has answered this prayer, that the Lord would defeat anything that Satan is doing in their lives to keep them from Him. And I'm very grateful for that. Now the journey continues. So my prayers will continue. What are those prayers now? I want them to be faithful. I want them to want to be with God more than they want anything else. And I would be lying to you if I told you I have not been praying for their future spouse, because I recognize the importance of who they marry in their continual journey.
So I was in New York when I for work at an offsite. It was in 8 hours of meetings at this time. I had missed texts. I had a text message from Matthew's wife, Kelly, that was saying, your wife's trying to get a hold of you. You need to contact her. So immediately, it's not what you want to see when you're super far away in New York and they're at camp. But quickly, she followed that up with, it's good news. So I felt a bit better about that. So after reading my wife's text, messages. She informed me of the great news. I was overwhelmed with joy, and then I was also hit with sadness that I wasn't there to be a part of it, to sharing it with them. But ultimately, I'm super proud. Both of them made this decision. I couldn't have asked for a better Father's Day gift. It's going to be tough for them to top it next year. The things that I've been praying for them is, it's for me to be able, since they were born, to be the father that they need, the father that I need to be for them, just to have that family that can support each other, that I could be that example to them, to let them know that when you stumble and fall, it's okay, that we've got to be there for each other to pick each other up. I'm thankful for this family, for everything that everybody's done for my kids and continues to do. Everybody here has touched them in some way and continues to do so. And they're starting this new journey, and I'm thankful for everybody that can pour into them.
Luke and Anna Grace, the things that I think about and pray about for you guys are that you'll be faithful and obedient, and that no matter what you choose to do in life, that you will always do the best you can, work hard, and not just use your talents to serve yourselves, but to serve other people and make other people's lives better around you. And more than anything else, just as you continue to grow up and move out into the world, you know, Mom and I only have a few more years left with you before you start to leave the nest, so I think the best admonition I could give you is to both of you be lights in the rising darkness in this world. Make this world a better place with everything you do. If you get that right, I think the rest will take care of itself. Amen. Really proud of you, Anna Grace.
Amen. Thank you, men, so much for being willing to do that. And I do know, as Matthew said, this is a very personal thing. It's very, but one of the things that even as we talked, I spent some time with my friend Greg, and he said, his girls looked over and said, "Dad, I want you to go talk about us." And I thought about the power of your presence, Greg, and your power in being in this place with your children, and some of you moms that are here with your kids, and the power of that in your life, and what our kids are crying out for us, men, is that we would be men who lead our homes and love our children and provide that example. And Joe, man, if you ever just, you know, when people talk about preachers stepping on their feet, right? And Joe talks about being a preacher and the challenge that it is when your kids and your wife, they see you. You guys see Chuck. And I try to be the same guy, but it's not always easy. And it's interesting, I had no conversation other than the text that said, "I just kind of want you to share what you shared." But you've already heard the sermon in two of these gentlemen's conversations. The first one is this. I think it's very, very, it's really a two-word sermon today. It's two words to you, whether you're a father or whether you're not a father, whether you're a mother, whether you're a kid, whether you're a teenager, whatever it is, the two words to me, they're two words to our fathers, there are two words. What are those words, you ask? And I believe it was Joe that mentioned them, said, "Be faithful." Be faithful. That's it. That's your lesson for the day. That's the challenge for the day. Be faithful. Not be accepted by the world. Not be liked. Definitely not be perfect, because that's not going to happen. Don't get discouraged when you stumble, when you kind of mess up. I mean, I appreciate Matthew confessing to us this morning that he kind of cusses in traffic on I-65. We all need prayers in different ways, and we struggle with different things. But the reality is, you're not going to be perfect. And that's why the beautiful grace of God is there, that continues, as 1 John says, that if we walk in His light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continually cleanses us. And then it says in that same chapter, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins to one another. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And sometimes it's important that we do. We come up and we say, look, I've not been faithful. I've failed, and I need to confess that. And if you want some serious props and respect from your kids, then when you fail, moms and dads, as a parent, to be able to say, look, I dropped the ball. I'm so sorry. I'll never forget one time, Katie and Claire, man, I can't, they must not have been more than 5, 6, or 7. I mean, and we were in I was tucking them in, and I had done something. I can't even remember what it was. And one of the girls was like, Dad, you know that really wasn't a good thing, don't you? I'm like, man, kind of just preaching at me young. And they were so right. And I was so convicted by that as a father. But I was so thankful that they had the light already in them that they were willing to shine it back and to share it with me. It's be faithful. It's not trying to be better than anybody else. It's not thinking yourself higher or, as some would say, judgmental. No, it's not anything but of those things, but just one thing. And it's something we strive for. It's something we should keep ever working for. It's something we should know that everything else about us is living towards. And it's that simple thing. It's to be faithful. To the new Christians, be faithful. To the son or the daughter that's here, be faithful. Do you want to give your father a perfect Father's Day gift? A gift that can never be taken away, that you can't buy it, there's not enough money in the world to give them, to purchase it. But it's simply live a life faithful to Jesus Christ. That does everything in the world that you can to honor the seed that your parents have planted in your heart. Be faithful. To the fathers, I offer you the same charge. Be faithful. Be faithful. The proverb writer Solomon would make this statement in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, and he says, many a man proclaim his own steadfastness, but a faithful man, who can find? Who can find that guy? I mean, it's easy. Lots of people talk the game, but to be the faithful father, to be the faithful man, who is going to find that? Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your wives. Be faithful to the task of raising your children, of pouring life and direction into their hearts. Be faithful to the Word of God. Don't walk away from the Word. Don't say things that matter don't matter anymore. Be faithful to the church. Be faithful. I think about the Christians in the book of Revelation that they were challenged and persecuted. Can you imagine living in a massive city like New York and New York City and living as a Christian in that place, what it must be like and what a challenge that must be? Paul writes to them and said, listen, you be faithful even to the point of death. Even if they try to take your life because you're a Christian, don't stop living in the faith. Don't stop doing what you know you need to do. Don't stop honoring God with your life. Don't stop worshiping with God's people. Don't stop living the life. Be faithful until death. And here's the promise. Here's the promise. And I will give you a crown of life. That's the deal. It's not the corona that the world is looking at all the time. It's the crown that God gives us. Be faithful. I told you there were two parts of the sermon. The first part was our challenge to us, but then the other thing was Matthew said it already. He said, why should we be surprised when we pray for something and God answers it? When we pray and we ask and God is true to that. When in our character, we try to be who we're supposed to be in the midst of that, even when nobody else sees it, and then we realize, but God sees it. And I think about the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 7 where we're following this great Shema that we talk about raising kids with and using and living our lives from, where it says that we hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, He is one. You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I command you, they should be on your heart. You should teach them diligently to your children. Be faithful to teach those kids diligently. Be faithful to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be faithful to talk about those things as you sit at your house, as you walk in the way, as you lie down, and when you rise up. But then the following chapter, he makes this statement. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Why can we be faithful? Why can we count on the faith that we're full of? Because God's faithful. God will never let you down. God will never disappoint you. God is faithful. So many times, as a matter of fact, we're told fewer times in Scripture about you be faithful than we are reflected to the fact of God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says that this, dealing with temptation, you got something you're struggling with? Listen to this one. No temptation has overtaken you except what it's common to man. We all go through it. But God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted above that which you are able. And with every temptation you face, he will provide for you a way of escape. Every one of us is tempted. Every one of us is dealing with different things. But the reality is, whatever you have been dealing with, the faithfulness of God promises you something. You look around the room and you see several red signs that say the words exit. They're there for a reason, because we know that we need to have a way out of this building should anything happen in this building. It's there for a reason. God says anytime you face temptation, the exits are there. Open your eyes and take them. You may be in a difficult situation. You may be in a bad place. You may be around the wrong kinds of people. But I promise you, God is faithful and he will provide for you a way out. Even as you look through Scripture, you think about Hebrews chapter 10, where it's talking about, let us draw near with a full assurance of faith, having our hearts clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Isn't that a picture of what God does in our baptism? Isn't that what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 was talking about when he says, the like figure whereunto now baptism doth also save you? It's not the washing of the filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Listen to what he says. He said, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. Last text I want to point you to is in Revelation. Chapter 19, the picture is of the great ending of time, this judgment scene, and the moment says that here is the one, and he is called faithful and true. In righteousness, he judges all the nations. What an incredible thought that not only is the Lord faithful, he's faithful and true. Faithful and true. Bum, bum, ba-da, bum, ba-da, bum, ba-da. You remember that tune? Some of you might have walked down an aisle to that tune. It wasn't, here comes the bride. No, it was faithful and true were those lyrics. Faithful and true. And the beauty of the gospel of Jesus is that through faith, we too, through truth, we can find the forgiveness that He offers to us. Through faith, we can come to know of His Son Jesus and the sacrifice that He laid out for us. Through faith, we can have the courage to say, I'm turning away from those things that were part of my life that are no longer that I know hurt and offend God. Through faith, I'm willing to say that I believe in Him. Through faith, I'm willing to be united with Him in baptism, having my sins washed away. It's not one thing or the other thing. It's all that God has said wrapped up in bringing us salvation. Faithful and true. Be faithful. That's my challenge. Be faithful. Maybe today you look at your life and you realize that's not what I have been. That I know that people around me know that I have not lived a faithful, I'm not being what I need to be. And you may need to, in a public way, say, I am ready to recommit my life to the Christ that is faithful and true because I want to be faithful and true. Maybe you've been inspired by the lives of these young people that in their faith that they have said, I am ready to commit my life to Christ. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you realize there are things that you've done that you've sinned against the Lord, and now it's time to admit that you've done wrong. And just like that prodigal son, the old song says, I'm on my way back home. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Faithful and true. Be faithful. Be faithful. In all you do, strive to honor the name of Jesus that you wear. We're going to sing a song, and if there's any way that we can encourage you to that challenge today, we want to do that as we stand and as we sing.